You're listening to Real Facts on Real Estate with Sean Patrick Maloney.
This sounds good.
Welcome to episode 26. Your phone is a powerful tool in real estate. I'm your host, Sean Patrick Maloney. Thanks for joining me this week. I want to talk about the different tools in real estate, but the one I really want to focus on today is the phone. It's something we all used to use all the time, and now we've become scared of. In the modern day, where texting and email and all these other forms of communication are so popular, people forget that the phone works so well. The one thing that the phone has that the text and the emails don't have is emotion. Yes, we have emojis, and we have a lot of different ways of showing emotion in text that we never have had before, but an emoji doesn't exactly say how you actually feel, where tonality is something that's in all our voices. We have these unwritten rules of tonality that we all know, similar to when your mother calls your name. If she says, Sean, you know, my mom's mad. Versus if she says, Sean, you know, okay, maybe she wants to see me. And so when we're using our voices, we're actually able to come up and down in the different tones, and we're able to actually create an environment to the other person that tells them exactly how we feel. Whereas if I went to a whisper, you'd be wondering, why is he whispering? What secret is he telling me? So we can use all these different ways of fluctuating our voices, our sounds, and have that emotion injected into the conversation that a text, you know, when you write the words, letters H-A-H-A, does it read, ha-ha, like that was funny? Or ha-ha, like as in, that sucks to be you? Or how does it read? And so that's one of the things that I think is most important to remember is we do a lot of follow-up on leads, we do a lot of follow-up on situations, and a lot of times that text is just absolutely emotionless. So let's talk about the phone. Let's start with the back end being voicemail. As an agent or any other real estate industry professional, if you don't have your voicemail set up, you're missing out on a big part of your business, I guarantee it. Those missed calls that never answer your call in the future, those people that you never got a hold of that called you back, but then you can't get a hold of them. A lot of times it's because they reached a phone that didn't have a voicemail, or worse yet, a full voicemail. Everybody and anybody knows somebody with a full voicemail is very sketchy. We don't think they're very busy because people that are busy deal with their phone calls and they end up deleting them out. People who are sketchy have a full voicemail box. People who are avoiding bill pay, avoiding to debt collectors, things like that. The reason they're leaving the voicemail box full is so that no one else can continue to bother them or harass them. So don't be that person. And when you set up a voicemail, think about it. Let people know who you are and what you do. When they get in, it's never a bad idea to have a voicemail like this. Hello, you've reached Sean Maloney of Movementum Realty. Sorry I missed your call. If you leave your name, your number, and a brief message, I'll be back to you as soon as possible. Thanks for calling today. When you leave a voicemail that just says Sean Maloney or something like that, how does the person know who they've reached and what you do? A lot of times when you're using your phone in this business or any of the other real estate related businesses, you're going to be calling people who don't know you, and they're not going to answer every single time. So when they call you back and they get that voicemail, it's a great time for them to say, oh, that's the real estate guy that I called. I'll leave them a voicemail. Whereas if they get a blank thing, they're like, I'm not leaving my voicemail here, because if I leave my name and number here and this is a telemarketer, now they have my information, they're going to haunt me forever, so I'm just going to wait. And then a lot of times you miss each other once or twice, they end up disappearing. So the phone is such an important tool. It's so important to have everything set up correctly, and it's really, really important to know phone etiquette and how to actually work it. So let's talk about some of the different times we use the phone. Number one is lead generation. In lead generation now, it's very common for people to go over to a text, an email, or something like an online messenger. These are all great, yes, because they're a little bit non-intrusive, they're not as dedicated in, but the reality is you don't have a captivated audience, and the person can read it, not reply to you, the person can answer back whenever they feel like it, and then the reality is if they don't like what you say, they can just fall off. When you're on the phone, how often have you actually had somebody where you say something and then they just give you dead air for 10 minutes? Usually doesn't happen. When you're on text, you write back and forth, and then suddenly, oh, where did they go? And it's just like, oh, they didn't feel like dealing with you. The seriousness level of texting and emailing is much lower than the seriousness level when you're on the phone. And the reason being is there's something called etiquette. And phone etiquette is really important to understand. When you work in the phone and you work in lead generation, you got to know phone etiquette, because you got to know how much to talk versus how much to listen, and what the questions and comments that you want to use to get exactly what you want out of the situation. One of the biggest mistakes made is people constantly, when they're using the phone or texting, when they're talking with leads and things, they want to ask questions that are deep, deep questions that the person's not ready to answer yet versus offering value. So when you're using the phone, you want to offer value through things like, I have a great listing coming up that I think you'd like to see. Different ways like that, like what you're actually saying to them by replying to me, by answering my questions, I'm going to get you the material or the answers that you're looking for. You can't say to them things like, I'm available 24/7 and everything like that. We all know every pizza place has the best pizza. Every agent's the best at selling houses. Everyone that has beer sells the coldest beer in the world. It's, you know, it's been done. Everybody gets that. But it's when you offer value and you say to them, by talking with me, I'm going to make your goals happen. We are going to see the home. I can show any and all homes. I can get you all the answers. You don't have to deal with anyone other than myself. That's where you're going to build the actual business with the person, and you're actually going to take it to that next level. Let's talk about it next time. So obviously we can go way into lead generation, but we're just talking about phones, so we'll stick to moving on. So on when you are going to submit an offer, far too often do agents submit offers to other agents with just a simple email that says offer attached. They don't even put a preface of anything. They don't reach out to the agent, they just send it, and then they sit there and hope, and then they wonder why in a multiple offer situation they didn't stand out. The next time you submit an offer, type out a nice little email, send in the offer, give it 5 minutes, pick up your phone, call the other agent and say to them, hey, I just sent you over an offer, wondering if you have any questions on it. If you did have any questions, feel free to reach out to me here. The lender on the deal is, then talk about the lender. These people are very well qualified. Really like to answer any questions you have, and I wanted you to know that I'm available 24/7 to you till we get an answer on this offer. So if you have anything you need, reach out to me. I work all the time. These things help out big time when it comes to offers. Too often, the offer goes in with just that little thing. Next one would be follow-up. After your first meeting with somebody, you go out there, you meet with the client, maybe a lead at this time, not quite a client, you go out for the showing. When you're done, and you're going to do the follow-up. A message, a quick little text message, is not of value where you're going to continue to build the relationship as much as to call the person and say, it was really nice to meet with you today, or it was really nice to meet you yesterday at my open house. I wanted to talk to you about your future goals in real estate and how I can help you reach them. Don't be sending those text messages that say, hey, you stopped by my open house yesterday. Do you have an agent? It just leads people to believe that you aren't willing enough to actually put the effort in that it takes to do a proper follow-up with the person. It's a huge thing to remember is that people like on-the-phone follow-ups. They like to feel like they're important. Use their name. Use the heck out of it. Continue to let them know that you care. Even bring up specific events that happened that you remember about your interaction with them. That way there they know not only do you care, but you listen, you follow up, and you actually put the effort in. One of the next things we deal with in real estate all the time is home inspections. And let's be honest, home inspections can be one of the worst things to deal with in the entire industry. Unfortunately, every home inspector believes that their job is to tell you everything wrong with the house and to make the person absolutely petrified and to make both agents have to figure out how to work a deal. When you're putting in an inspection report, whether you're on the buy side or sell side, there's going to be a lot of talk. One of the worst things that I've seen, and I've heard different people talk about this over time, is just putting a laundry list email together with no emotion, an attached inspection report, and absolutely zero etiquette. You're just sending out a list and it says, these are the things wrong. If you're going to do that, if you're going to email out a list, break it down. These are our expectations to be fixed. These are our expectations that we would like to fix. These are our expectations moving forward. But I highly suggest you put together a consolidated list, you type it out, and again, just like the offer, send it over and 5 minutes later call and talk. And that way there you can make the other agent, whether it be you're answering back that the seller is going to do these items and are not going to do these items, or you're the buyer saying, I would like them to do these items, or, you know, we're going to walk away or we need a price adjustment. Call them and talk it through. You'll be surprised how much different of a reception you'll get. People get very high and mighty and very tough behind computers and texts. They say things that they would never say to your face. They're willing to put in a lot more aggression, and it all comes down to, I think, that what I was saying before, the tonality and understanding. A lot of times they're just like, who is this person to demand that of me? I'll show them. You can't tell me what to do. And it's just something that's it's so deep ingrained into our humanity. It isn't really like they want to ruin the deal. It's just like the way that that just came off to me and the way that I'm going to come back to you leads to arguments that never actually had to exist. So just make sure when you have a home inspection, whether it's a good one or a bad one, don't just shoot an email or a text message over saying that the buyer wants $5,000 or anything. Make the phone call and explain why. And before you call on anything, always know what you're going to talk about ahead of time. Do your time and research ahead, so that way there when you're on the phone, you're not trying to figure out what to say. Too often I get phone calls where someone wants to talk about big things, and then they realize they're just trying to figure out what they're saying, and then they get to call you back a little bit later on because they forgot half the stuff they wanted to say. So don't be that guy or girl. Make sure you understand what you want to talk about before you call. So let's talk about a little bit deeper into the real estate deal. When you're working, you got an accepted offer, you've gone through home inspection, you're getting to that point, a commitment letter, whether you're with the buy side or the sell side, now's the time where we want to be talking about referrals and reviews. You don't want to be asking for referrals or reviews when the deal's done, but you also don't want to be asking for referrals and reviews only through emails. Don't get me wrong, I believe in a well-integrated method of using text, email, and phone calls, but when you're sending out these emails and you're not following up on them, you're really not going to get that many referrals or reviews. When you have someone on the phone and you tell them the value of a review, or you talk to them about how much you would love if they helped you find some of their friends that needed to find a person to help them just like you did, you're going to have much better luck. We all get way too many emails, and when we open up an email and it looks like something that's asking us to do something and we're really not feeling that great about it that day, we're just going to delete it. Might even put it in the spam box. Be careful about that. You don't want to have your referral and review time be viewed as just junk mail, be viewed as a thing, it's not really worth doing that. When you get the person on the phone, you're able to explain to them the value and how grateful you'll be and the fact that reviews are how the business is driven. Don't be afraid when you're on the phone to explain, similar to how you shop on Amazon, when you're looking at 5-star ratings versus a 3-star rating, you're going to choose them. That's why reviews help me out so much, and I'd really appreciate it today if you would help me out with that. And then when you have them on the phone, you can also say things like, I'm available to actually physically come help you write the review. I don't mind. We can meet up and we can talk. Now, this is a great time. You go to meet with them and talk about reviews, where you can again ask for the referrals. As much as I call the phone the most powerful tool in real estate, you do got to remember that the one thing more powerful than that is not a tool at all. It's actually being there in person. The most powerful way to speak with anyone is in person. I think it will always be that, because when you're face to face, not only is tonality there, but there's body language and there's so much more. So if you are doing a good job and you know what you're doing, you work the phones correctly, the phone is really to get you in front of the person. Now, we talked a little bit on inspection and follow-ups and offers about the overall value in them. And the word that I didn't really use is negotiations. In negotiations, it's not exactly easy to negotiate through messaging. It goes too quick, it goes too heartless, and again, it goes out emotionless. When you're negotiating back and forth and you're negotiating on things in the thousands or tens of thousands of dollar range, throwing out simple texts can run into a dead wall where both parties wanted to agree to something, but they can't because they both don't understand what each other is asking for, and they both end up thinking that the other person is being over-demanding versus being reasonable. So in negotiations, always use your phone. Don't be afraid to get somebody on the phone. That way there, when you say something, you say, you know, my client would like $50,000 off of the price because of XYZ, you can hear the person go, oh, really? Or, that's not going to happen. Or, ooh, let me talk to my clients and kind of see where they go. Whereas, you know, first one, they're like, man, this deal's going to die. Second one of those, person's like, no way, not going to happen. Third one was like, my client's going to go with the yes. I'm going to pretend like they're not going to because I'm trying to be tough right now. I'm going to call you back in 15 minutes and say, okay. But knowing how to read that tonality on the phone and knowing how to work negotiations properly through talk is a huge part of actually being a true fiduciary for your client and actually getting them the best deal possible. So I want to finish up this podcast today to talk about using scripts versus using freelance. Using scripts versus using freelance is something always argued about, and some of the best salespeople in the world all say, use scripts. I don't believe in using scripts, and call me wrong for saying the best do this and then I don't do it. I believe in having scripts and understanding the script, but realizing that every situation calls for a unique conversation. The script is there to give you a baseline, in my opinion. The baseline is you know where you're going, you know what you're trying to convey, but I all the time get sold things. People call me all the time, and there's nothing to me more frustrating than when somebody leads you through a script where they're trying to get you to say a whole bunch of yeses, or they're trying to take you through affirmations, and they're doing all these funny things with you. It's like, leave me alone. I know what you're doing. I get it. You're trying to sell something. I'd much rather you directly relate with me, get involved with me, and work with me the way that I need to work with. So it's important to know your scripts. It's important to know what you should be saying. But it's important to know a whole bunch of different scripts so that way there you can say, okay, I need to turn this a little bit because this unique situation calls for this or that. And that's when you are using more of a freelance style. So again, never a bad idea to have scripts. Some companies do require that you use scripts. But when you are using a script, be prepared to flip, flop, and turn as you need to. So that way there you're not killing the conversation and making the person feel like you're nothing different than a robot. Because robotic talk never really goes over well when it comes to actually trying to sell people stuff. Well, end the podcast here just saying, always answer your phone. It's shocking to me how many people in the real estate industry do not answer their phones on the regular. They constantly miss it. They put it to voicemail. And then worse yet, they put it to voicemail and they text you back, did you need something? Get on the phone, use the phone, and make moves. Guarantee you if you start using your phone more often, you'll start doing more deals quicker and you'll close more deals. You'll keep more deals alive, you'll generate leads better, and you gain more respect out of everybody in the industry. I hope this podcast helped you this week. If you have any ideas, comments, concerns about future episodes, feel free to email me, text message me, call me, whatever works best. Thanks for listening to the podcast and make sure to follow.